As we engage in the word of the Lord this day, there's an outline for you on the back table by the offering plate. You want to pick one of those up and fill in the blanks, take some notes. Please feel free to do so this day. Guided to the cross, our Lenten theme. And Tony, thank you for presenting that last week for us, sharing the word of the Lord in a resource that's ours. I don't necessarily use those resources because I want to share the word of the Lord as it impacts my heart to you because I'm with you. I'm needing to be guided to the cross where my salvation, as yours, is found, the salvation of the world. And as we're on this guided tour to the cross, we began understanding that our passport, that which gets us started on this journey, I changed batteries today, and I probably put them in backwards. No, I didn't. I may have to have Jeff help me here. Jeff, my batteries aren't working. My clicker's not working. There we go. Our passport, which began us on this journey, is that forgiveness in the blood of Jesus, washing us, dressing us in this robe of righteousness that allows us to be known in Him and to be known in Him for eternity, which is the blessing, of course, of faith. Our first stop along this tour, this guided tour, was one in which this is still not working, Jeff. I'm just going to let you click it, okay? Our next stop was, go ahead, please. Thank you. Was where we were reminded of the hope that we have, a certainty of the blessing of eternity that we possess. It's ours. And faith recognizes that. And faith embraces that hope, knowing that when we enter eternity, when we die, what's awaiting for us is a sure thing because of Jesus. We celebrated our next second stop with the gift of love. Next slide, please. Thank you. With the gift of love. The love of God, our Heavenly Father, displayed for us, given to us in His one and only Son, Jesus. And in that blessing of His one and only Son, so our Heavenly Father pours out His love for us, a love that is unconditional, selfless, a love that stretches from our time, our lives, to the next generations. Until He comes and returns again to make all things new, this is the love of our Heavenly Father for us in Jesus. Okay, Tony, please. And now, today, our stop is one in which we're given the blessing of peace. Thank you, Jeff. The blessing of peace. Peace given to us in the Holy Spirit. Peace that embraces our lives in these days and in our relationships as it's reflected in our Heavenly Father and then unto eternity. So let's go to the word of the Lord here for us this day. And this is still not working. Oh, hang on. Did you do that, Tony, or did I? Okay. Thank you. Good. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 49. Go ahead, please. It was now about noon as we pick up the account of Jesus' crucifixion. He's hanging there on the cross, crucified for our redemption, but from the eyes of the world as a criminal. And as Luke records, it's noon, and darkness came over the whole land until about 3 in the afternoon. So about 3 hours, darkness was known. The sun had stopped shining, in fact. And part of that was the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It was rended in half. Now, this curtain temple was 6 inches thick, and it was rended, torn in two, from the top to the bottom. It had to have been the work of the hand of the Lord doing this, not of man. All of these are signs. Go ahead, Tony. All of these are signs of Jesus' work on the cross for our redemption. They might have been distractions, like a not working clicker might be a distraction. They might have been distractions, but they were more than that. They were pointing to the work of our Father on behalf of us and humanity in His one and only Son, Jesus. In fact, the prophet Isaiah gives us a clue about this when he says in chapter 53, verse 5, that he, that is, HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. That's what Jesus was bearing. He was being crushed as he bore our iniquities. So I told you on this guided tour of the cross that there were aspects of life experiences that might help us gain understanding about what's going on in this guided tour. And I took you to the Great Barrier Reef, where the glory of the Lord was displayed, and how thankful I was that the certain hope of the boat that I was in protected me from the shark that we saw in the water. Today, there's another aspect of a guided tour. Maybe some of you have been on safaris. You've been on a safari. I'd love to go on a safari sometime. I'd love to go to Africa and see the animals, and particularly a rhinoceros. These majestic creations of the Lord. Terrible eyesight, good hearing, but they're really good at one thing. They will crush anything in their path, right? These huge creatures. In fact, when they're scared or are threatened or perceive harm or danger, what do? They just ride ahead like a bull in the china shop. Rhinoceros just charges and crushes everything in their path, right? That's how they deal with those stressful kinds of situations. I'm a bit like a rhinoceros at times, right? Aren't you? When you're threatened or not seeing clearly the situation, maybe you're not hearing or understanding where others are at, and our first kind of instinct is to charge ahead. And what happens is relationships, people that I love and people that love me, get crushed because of my charging ahead like a rhinoceros. Does that sound familiar? It is for us. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are like those rhinoceros at times. Isaiah 53:5 says that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus was trampled over. Our iniquities are like a rhinoceros that just charges straight ahead and tramples him to death. A death on the cross. The destruction that I cause because of my rhinoceros-like living and my sinfulness, ours, that destruction is taken upon Jesus. He bears that as part of our iniquity. It's the destruction that we cause in the relationship with our Father and with one another. Jesus bears it. The blame that I earn because of my rhinoceros-like sinfulness. Well, Jesus takes that blame, part of the aspect of our iniquities that he takes upon himself. And the guilt then that comes from me living, you living like a rhinoceros, well, Jesus bears that guilt as well. Here we are, guided to the cross, where Jesus bears the iniquity of our sinfulness upon himself. The good news is that while I might act like a rhinoceros at times, and relationships, events, people are crushed because of my sinfulness, there's hope. There's a purpose for Jesus, for us being told that Jesus would bear our iniquities and be crushed. In verse 46, there on the cross, Jesus is crying out with a loud voice, Father, on our behalf, Jesus is crying out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I have been crushed by you for them, for each one of us, human beings, past and us today and those coming after us. Jesus suffers for us, crushed for our iniquities. And when he had said this, he gave up his spirit. John says, Luke says, he breathed his last. He gave up his life for us. Isaiah would go on in verse 6 saying, we all, like sheep, we've all gone astray. That's another way of saying, like rhinoceroses, we've charged ahead. And each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord Almighty has laid on him, his one and only son, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The destruction, the blame, and the guilt that's ours, Jesus has taken upon himself. And while Jesus died and gave himself up willingly for us, we know that what comes next is the expression of what that death means. That death means that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. But 3 days later, to rise from the grave means that there's a life and a hope that's expressed now in him. And as he gives it to you and me, as his people living then, not crushed to death, but raised to new life in Christ alone, in him himself who was raised from the dead. The centurion experienced that. Think about this, right? If there was ever a person in scriptures that might be described as a rhinoceros, it's a centurion. He just charges ahead at the command of his superior officer, and he crushes everything in his path, as that's his job, as a Roman centurion, part of the centurion army. And here he is. If ever there was a rhinoceros, he's standing there, seeing what had happened. And he praises the Lord Almighty, even saying, "Surely, this was a righteous man." Is that a statement of faith? Was the centurion expressing, "Here's my Savior. Where I have crushed, he is giving me life"? I don't know that. We don't know that. The Lord God will know that. And we'll find out one day what he's done with the centurion and how he's treated him. But what's before us now is you and me and our lives, our expression as the Lord's people. In Colossians, Paul talks about this in Colossians 1:20. He says, "Jesus reconciles to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace," reine in the Greek. Something that flows from the activity of grace that God the Lord himself does selflessly in the love of his son for us, that peace now is extended. It's an extension of grace so that we might know that grace that we've been given is real. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross, this is where we find peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. And peace for ourselves as well. Jesus reconciles to himself all things. Not just some things. Not just certain things. All things. All the cosmos. All of creation. And all people. He's willing to reconcile through the gift of his son, Jesus, who know him by faith. A rhinoceros, like me. Jesus reconciles. Get back up, please, Jeff. Reconciles and makes peace. Jesus reconciles to himself all things, and where I have destroyed, there all things are made new. My relationships, my love for people that I've crushed, and their love for me that I've crushed. This is the Lord's work, making all things new. Please, Jeff. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, wherever this may be found, I stand blameless now because of this reconciling work. I stand blameless before him in heaven. I am forgiven. Friends, you have been assured of that today. You are forgiven. And with that forgiveness, it's reflected in lives with one another. We stand blameless with each other. Not crushed. Not crushed, but made new, alive, restored. And with our Heavenly Father reflected with one another, so by making peace through his blood shed on the cross, there is no guilt. Guilt no longer has mastery over me because Jesus gives me peace. Boy, that is easy to preach. That is easy for me to say to you and for me to hear. But doggone it if that's not hard to practice. So after I had been a rhinoceros, after I had crushed some people that I love and not been very careful in a situation in which caused that event, that situation to be tainted because of me. I crushed the life out of it, so to speak. I was unable to sleep at night, tossing and turning. Reconciliation had happened. We had reconciled the relationships with one another, but still I was plagued by guilt. Ah, why did I do that? Right? You know what that's like, middle of the night, ask that kind of question? Yeah. To be befuddled with why is my faith so weak that I wouldn't respond in a way that's glorifying to the Lord? You know that kind of question in the middle of the night. Racked with this. And finally this verse, the Lord's Spirit brought to mind this verse. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And as that scripture came to mind, I began praying it over and over again. For an hour, I laid there, 3 a.m, just praying this verse over again and thinking about and asking for the Lord to make this peace that he's promised us real. And he does. He works this way. Ask, and you will receive these things of the Lord that are pleasing to him. Peace finally came. That's the gift that you and I are given in this process. In the reconciliation that Jesus makes when he's crushed for our iniquities, so that we might be raised to new life in him, we might know his peace. I don't know if you know this about a rhinoceros, but as you look at this picture a little more closely, there are always birds on the back, sometimes the head of a rhinoceros. They're called red-billed oxpeckers. They provide a couple of purposes for the rhinoceros. One is they peck off all the parasites and the ticks to keep the hide of the rhinoceros clean. But they also are an early warning system for the rhinoceros. They'll let the rhinoceros know, because he can't see very well, let the rhinoceros know when danger is approaching. And so that red-billed oxpecker will serve as this early warning system so the rhinoceros can find safety. This might be a hard analogy, and I'm not saying that the red-billed oxpecker is the Holy Spirit. However, we have somebody who lives in us, right? The Holy Spirit, who is an early warning system for us and one who protects and guides and keeps us in the ways of the Lord. So that when I have an urge to trample like a rhinoceros. Here's the word of the Lord. This is not who you are, Tim, people of God. You're not a rhinoceros. You're a child of the Most High. You live at peace with your Heavenly Father and with one another. So let that peace, please, Jeff, as we hear from Philippians 4:7, the peace of the Lord our God, transcending all of our understanding, that peace, the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit living and abiding in each one of us, will guard our hearts and our minds. We might say our activities too, how we want to respond in a situation unto Christ the Lord. Is this not pleasing to him? Is this not the way that he works so that as people alive in Christ Jesus, we reflect him for his praise and his glory and the honor for which Jesus was crushed for our iniquities? We are forgiven and at peace with God and with one another. Thanks be to God who loves us so in Christ Jesus, his Son. Here we are, guided to the cross and embraced in the gift of peace. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for leading us to the cross of Jesus, where again that perspective and a truth of how you work in and among us is made known. What you've given us is peace in your great love for us, a peace that passes our understanding, but it keeps our hearts and our minds guarded by the Spirit in you and your ways, of which we seek to walk and live and express our lives, lives of grace. To you be the praise, the glory, and the honor. For Jesus and in his holy name, we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Come and let's sing.